Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America. From border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the Now Generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
All right. Hello, everybody in Radioland. The Mike and Judy Show back from Roberta's here on the Heritage Radio Network. It's Mike Edison, but today I am bereft. Judy is out taking care of some poisonal business. That's the bad news. The good news is I'm joined today by Patrick Martin.
Come on. I wanted to see how far I could get into the show before people knew I wasn't Judy.
Well, you're not too hot for television, but glad to have you here. Of course, you gave me my big start in internet radio, Patrick. You are my corporate master, such as it is.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. This is, I've always said, one of the top 25 of shows on the network.
And I wish people could see...
Jack!
And I wish people could see what you were wearing today. You're sort of like the Hugh Hefner of this whole operation.
I am wearing slippers, it's true.
If Hugh Hefner were like homeless and stoned. Today we have, as our special guests, our friends from the Little Neck Clam Shack in Gowanus. We have both the front of house and the back and the kitchen represented today, right? With my buddy Aaron Lefkov and Joe Aponte from the kitchen. What's going on, guys?
Not too much.
Not too much at all.
You guys were here before. Now, all of a sudden, you're like legit with this New Yorker review and stuff.
We've been here three times now.
Well,
Snacky Tunes, what else?
Snacky Tunes, the Mike and Judy Show, and the Mike and Judy Show. So hopefully we'll have something left to talk about today.
Well, you guys are, like I said, you're legit now. When you first came on, there was a couple of wayward punks trying to make your way around with a couple of bivalves you hooked out of the Gowanus Canal. And now,
it's nice to be recognized by the establishment.
And now there you are in the Jewish press, meaning the New York Times, and the Goy Press, meaning the New Yorker.
The Jew Yorker.
So, it was a talk show, guys. I needed to talk. So, what's going on? Last night was your big night, right? After the New Yorker review, the world changed for you?
The world didn't change, but there was a lot more people there.
Well, you're bugging.
What was exactly said? I'm sorry. I should have researched this show more, but what was the premise?
Well, I never thought that something that I came up with doing a shot at a bar would ever get a glowing review from such an august publication as the New Yorker, but it's a pretty nice review.
Very nice. Congratulations.
It was amazing, actually. And I've eaten at your restaurant. I like it. It's a good-looking room. The food's really good. But just knowing you as I do, shiftless punk rocker, ne'er-do-well that you are.
Certainly a ne'er-do-well.
I believe the first...
Term my parents used for me.
Your dad told me he was very proud of you. He actually took me aside at the Passover Seder. I'm very proud of Aaron. He says he's obviously a guy who's never going to really work well for somebody else.
No, as you've seen when we were colleagues in another life.
That's good. My father never told me he was proud of me. What about you, Joe? How's it going out back there in the kitchen? Things coming out of there consistently good, I think, right?
Yeah. I seem to surprise myself every day with the food I'm doing, if that sounds, egotistical. But, yeah, it's going great.
That doesn't sound egotistical at all.
I mean, now, we buy everything from within a mile of our restaurant. Would not be a good ad campaign for you guys on the Gowanus Canal.
I mean, it started, there's a bridge across, there's a couple bridges across the canal, and it started, 6 months ago when we opened, where I would actually hoist Joe down. I would hold his ankles and hoist him down into the water. But, since we've had such recent success and we've been so well received, I now have a pulley system.
Very nice. I've always thought, I've walked on those bridges because I live right there, and I've always thought, what would have to go by for me to actually jump into the Gowanus to retrieve it? Like, Holy Grail, I'd be like, no. Jimmy Hoffa's body, no.
It's a really great way to keep your food margins low.
Is the Gowanus still catching fire with frequency like it used to?
Smoke on the water, baby.
So, well, you guys are pretty much pioneers in that neighborhood. I mean, it's starting to shape up now, but, I mean, my God, even Roberta's here. I mean, can you remember when we started out here, what it looked like in this neighborhood?
Yeah, I mean, it was empty. It was just this and the, you know, deli over there.
And,
the
you know, this was the neighborhood in 77 during that blackout. I mean, this whole neighborhood was on fire. You know, the Bronx was burning, and so this part of Brooklyn, too. I guess so, if you call drunken assholes and sombreros on fire.
Different type of fire.
Speaking of which, yesterday, Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo.
It's like, seriously, dude.
One small step above the Puerto Rican Day Parade.
Wow.
Wow, you're getting into like a full munchstick territory.
Well, no, that is. I grew up on Madison Avenue. That was, it seemed like it happened about 8 times a year, and that was always the worst day. I mean, there's wielding in the park, you know, garbage left all on the streets, but.
Yeah, well, that's why people generally have something to celebrate, not a bunch of, like, you know, PFAs, the post-frat assholes, you know, walking around drunk on tequila. My neighbor just turns into, like, it's just like this sea of wasted humanity.
That's why I'm drinking my margarita on Seis de Mayo.
That's it. That's good.
As a sign of protest.
You guys do a Cinco de Mayo thing at your fine restaurant?
No. I mean, no, we didn't.
You guys, your neighborhood seems a little too cool for all of that.
Well, it was a weird Cinco de Mayo this year. We had the waspy Upper West Side New Yorker delegation out there in full force last night. A lot of jackets. A lot more jackets than I ever thought I would see in that
place. Because you're in the New Yorker.
Where exactly is your restaurant?
It's on 3rd Avenue between Carroll and President Street.
Carroll and President. Wow. 3rd Avenue. And what else was there before? I mean,
There's a social club. It's still there.
Okay. Who's that? Old Italian guys?
Old Italian guys. Some younger Italian guys.
There's that good Italian restaurant down the street, that really old school red sauce joint, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I would necessarily call it good, but it is down the street.
And there's a bar that's been there for a zillion years, but that was about it.
Because people don't know. It's a kind of no man's zone between Park Slope, which is a very popular neighborhood, and kind of the Carroll Gardens.
Heights. You know, we get... I think being right in between the two neighborhoods, we get a lot of people from both. So, you know, for being a total kind of wasteland, no man's land between two neighborhoods, we're actually people are traveling from both sides to come and eat at our place. People are traveling from points even further. So,
all right,
you're like a canal yourself.
So, what does a Jew like you know about serving trafe anyway?
Oh, I know a lot.
Well, tell me, where do you learn these things? I know your family, a nice Jewish family. They wouldn't tolerate, you know, mollusks and bivalves.
You know, there's a, you know, we, I who said they wouldn't tolerate mollusks and bivalves? They love it.
That is true. With bacon bits
on top. My father was positively verklempt when he pulled you aside at the Seder.
He was very proud of you.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know your family. They're nice. Not a lot of pork chops going on in that household.
Well, not at the Passover Seder. But.
No, it's not.
When are you guys going to start serving gefilte fish? See, that could be like the new hipster ironic food.
And now you could grow
like Jewish sushi. Gefilte, and you could get that from the Gowanus.
Gefilte fish actually was having a moment recently. You've seen it pop up a lot more here and there. But
is gefilte Jewish for garbage?
It's kind of a trash fish. Among trash fish, it is a trash fish.
Now, actually, talking about what is a fish's power to untrash an environment? Like, I always hear, oh, put an oyster in it. I mean, can fish really fix it?
Well, not fish, but definitely oysters and clams. Yeah. So shellfish, yeah. Yeah, they said something about, you know, an oyster can clean up something like 7 gallons at high tide.
Really?
What does that mean when you say that? It sucks in the water and does
it,
something?
Like, it sucks it in and then spits it out. And it goes in dirty, comes out clean.
And yet we can still eat it? Or are we not?
No,
supposed
no, you,
to eat
you,
those
you couldn't.
Ones?
I would assume if they were going to put oysters in the canal, the first few hundred, you couldn't eat. But.
First few hundred, you have the first few hundred years.
Would oysters
those oysters
die?
You don't want to eat.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But would those oysters die? Can oysters survive in the Gowanus right now?
Well, I mean, they wouldn't die, but they wouldn't be good to eat, you know?
But they wouldn't be killed even though we shouldn't eat them. They wouldn't die because it's so toxic.
Oysters have. Yeah, a few, very few natural predators. It's like it's, huh. Yeah, they can survive through anything. They're like a roach.
Just Jews and go and on President Street.
And little neck clams, yeah, shacks.
So where are you guys getting the oysters from? Where are you sourcing your shellfish from?
You mean besides the canal?
Besides the canal, yes.
We work with a bunch of purveyors around town. We work with Wild Edibles, Peerless Seafood.
I love the Wild Edibles restaurant up on 3rd Avenue.
Oh, yeah, great stuff over there.
That's good, right? The fish market, they just threw a bar in there. I like it over there.
Island Creek Oysters. I'm from Massachusetts. They're on Cape Cod. North Rip Trading.
Yeah.
We work with all reputable purveyors, and then, you know, occasionally we have the local oyster.
The local oyster. I like the Blue Point oysters. I like oysters from, like, Long Island and Rhode Island. And
well, how many oysters do you throw out a week?
You know, the menu changes every day. You know, we don't have very much storage space in our place, so we're really only bringing in food for the day, every day, pretty much. So the oyster list changes on a daily basis. We have between 6 and 8 oysters at any time from the East Coast, from the West Coast. And
I like West Coast oysters better, by the way.
You know,
they seem milkier, kind of more unctuous.
The West Coast oysters are typically a little smaller, a little creamier. And I like the bigger, brinier, more seawater-flavored oysters, personally. But okay. I've noticed since we opened our place that the West Coast oysters are overwhelmingly a bigger sell.
Hmm. And so you don't have to throw... I mean, when is it to... I mean, how do you draw that line? Because you're like, I could sell this oyster platter for X amount of dollars. But, you know, where is that moment?
Well, I mean, we do them all by the piece.
Okay.
So you can order as many or as few as you want. It's not like a platter-type deal. But I typically don't want to have an oyster on for more than 2 nights in a row. Like after, you know, if we have it on a Thursday night and then we don't sell it out on a Friday night, I don't want to put it out on Saturday.
And then you turn it into oyster stew, fried oysters?
Well, you can fry them up. They're still good after a few days, but it's, you know, you don't want to start. I don't want to serve anything that's not fresh.
So you can avoid loss by being like, it's getting to that second day, let me fry it and make a special.
Well, a few times we've done the random oyster grab bag.
Oh, really?
which is just whatever we don't have enough pieces of to actually put on the board. You know, so I'm sitting on like 8 pieces of something, 10 pieces on something. It's not enough to put out there, but I'll just do a random oyster grab bag and blow them out for $1.50 a pop.
Okay.
Is that what you usually get for an East Coast oyster, $1.50? A lot of places now I see you're having like $1 oyster specials. I'm wondering, is that just a loss leader?
Well, no, that's like, those are like Blue Points, you know, Pine Island oysters, Pipes Cove, something that comes from really close in Long Island, you know. And
the more exotic the oyster, the more expensive it is. So, but usually I try and do the East Coast oysters for $2. Occasionally we have ones that are $3. I try and do the West Coast for $3. Occasionally we'll have something like, we've been doing hand-harvested wild bologna from Maine. And those will be a little bit more, but I try and keep in the $2 and $3 range. I don't want anybody to walk into the place and feel priced out and walk right back outside.
Well, my experience is your place has always been packed every time I've been in there.
What do you serve with the oysters? What's your version of the mignonette? Because I always have issues with restaurants that try to make their own ketchup or break the rules of mignonette. So what's your take on it?
We just follow the traditional mignonette, red wine vinegar, shallot, peppercorn. Yeah, it's...
I don't want, you know, a Thai base. I mean, that's not how I know oysters and that's not how I want them.
Yeah, we don't fix it if it's not broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll tell you what, a local restaurant in East Village, ordered a bratwurst, slightly off the bivalve topic here, but they lost me yesterday.
This is one, why?
They lost me. I will never go back because I went in to have a pint of beer, and it's a bar that has, 30 or so beers on tap and a lot of artisanal beer and a really nice list. And they obviously they have a chalkboard and they care about it and they tell you exactly what time and day it's been tapped and everything's fresh and wonderful. And I ordered a bratwurst. Have with my beer, and there was no mustard, so...
Didn't give you mustard?
With a bratwurst, and a pint of beer and a bratwurst, there's no mustard. Okay, that was weird to begin with. And then I said, well, you know, maybe
that's offensive.
It is, but sacrilegious. It gets worse. For this Jew, it gets worse. This bratwurst-eating Jew, it gets much worse. When I asked for the mustard, it took like 10 minutes. I think he went to this corner and bought a bottle of French's. They gave me this monkey dish of that bright yellow goyish or crud mustard that no self-respecting Jew should ever fucking eat. Okay, and there it was next to my bratwurst, and that to me says you don't care enough about your customers.
Well, I went
about
to
your
a
food,
restaurant
about
that
your
refused.
Goddamn mustard program.
One restaurant refused. She's a very nice lady. She refused to go get mustard. She's like, my stuff doesn't need it. She also didn't put dressing on her salad. That's sick. I mean, that you don't, you can't get oil and vinegar. I mean, what, are you buying better lettuce than the guy next door? Come on,
no dressing.
I'd say my general rule of thumb is the bigger the grain in the mustard, the more chewy it is.
Yeah, I want a nice spicy brown mustard.
Well, if you were to open a sausage place, wouldn't like?
I could eat a mustard grain the size of my head.
Oh, that would be so nice.
So if you were to open a sausage place, wouldn't like the first thing after sausages be mustard?
Mustard. You should open a mustard museum at your bratwurst restaurant.
I have like, you know, 6 to 8 kinds of mustard in my house at any given time. Because there are different mustard opportunities and different mustard situations.
You know, have to have the right tool for the right job.
You know, I mean, I have the Dijon to make the salad dressing. Then I've got like a nice deli mustard with a lot of horseradish in it for when I do make a dog. I always like to have some heap nats in the freezer. You never know. They do answer to a higher authority.
We have a beet mustard at Little Nick at the moment.
Like a beetnik?
Yeah, like a beetnik mustard.
It's just like, does it make you howl? You get that joke? See?
Yeah, daddy.
So, Mike, what's a word?
How's it going, Aaron?
It's great.
Oh, man, you... dude.
Oh. Like, wow, daddy.
Oh, man, you know, Aaron has been my beetnik. I've rented Aaron as a beetnik many, many times.
Maynard's like a beetnik.
Maynard G. Krebs is rolling in his grave right now.
For all the gigs that I do, and you have one line. How's it going, man?
Like, cool, daddy.
Can someone tell me?
0-3. It's like crazy, man.
Like
one
crazy.
One line.
Wait. Try it again.
You're a better restaurateur than you are.
Try it again.
Tell you what. Let's take a break. Speaking of a higher authority, here's Elvis Presley. Jack, spin it.
Everybody gather round and listen to that bongo sound. Grab the first one in your reach. Now we're gonna shake the beach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do the clam, do the clam. Grab your barefoot baby by the hand. Turn and tease, hug and squeeze. Dig right in and do the clam. You can't get your heart to spin on the outside looking in. Moon ain't gonna last all night. Well, let's work up an appetite. Do the clam, do the clam. Grab your backward baby.
Okay, we're back here at Roberto's on the Heritage Radio Network. It's Mike Edison with sitting in for the beautiful Judy McGuire.
Hi, I'm Judy.
So not, dude. First,
I'm not doing as good a job as Judy. She sets very high standard. I feel, absolutely.
Well,
like
Judy
I'm not doing
is
my
the
job.
Greatest, and I'm seriously bereft without her. But you
thanks.
But you did give me my big break, and I love that outfit you're wearing today, Patrick. I must say,
these cats are for Judy, by the way. If you've been wondering.
I love that outfit.
Are you going to ask me about my word?
I'm going to ask you about your word, but first I wanted to tease you more about these like multiple flannel layers that you're wearing.
Does it work or not?
70 degree day.
Does it work or not?
Well, you're contradicting yourself because you're wearing multiple layers of flannel and then you're wearing shorts.
Shorts, right? Because my legs never get cold. Has anyone ever been cold on their calf muscle?
Okay.
Point taken.
But
all right, I'm out. I want to end on top. I'm going out this back door.
Patrick, I understand you invented a new word.
Well, some guy... Do you remember Rich Hall and Sniglets, Saturday Night Live, where people would, you know, invent words that should exist but don't yet?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any Sniglets? No.
But that's okay.
But remember, they came out with like 40 books at the time. This was before the internet. Anyway, some guy's like, I have a Sniglet, and I've written into the Atlantic, and no one ever came up with the word for it. When you leave a shower and you still have a little patch of soap and you're already out and it's still like wet and disgusting.
This is the word you invented? This is where you're taking
me? So he brings us up and listen. Residouche. Residouche, French for shower, douche, residouche. Come on. And they didn't even give me credit for it. They were like, yeah, it's all right.
This is what you bring on the Mike and Judy show.
I'm like, that's gold, baby. Gold. Residouche.
I always wondered what the clinical term for that was.
Yes, thank you.
So, how many different mustards do you guys have?
Oh, at least three or four at any given moment.
Yeah, absolutely. So, listen, I'm really happy that you guys are doing so well. I mean, knowing Aaron, of course, it's a complete shock. You, of course, Joe, are very talented and have your shit together.
Yeah.
But I understand you're doing so well that maybe we're going to even talking about Little Neck East, West, North, South 2.0.
Well, I had an epiphany one night, and I'm I signed a lease on a space. I'm going to knock the building down, and I'm erecting a tent. It's going to be called Beer Tent.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tent that serves beer.
I like the beer tent.
With, like, pumped from kegs and garbage cans filled with ice. So I signed a lease on a space. It's a nice, gorgeous, split-level 10,000 square feet. We're demolishing the whole thing, starting over from the ground up with a tent. So it's Beer Tent. Should be open July 4th weekend.
July 4th, 20...
Saving up all my money to buy the tent.
2018? This summer.
This summer.
This is breaking news. That's impressive. Where's this going to be exactly?
Wherever we can find the space to put the tent up.
Yeah.
So Beer Tent.
Isn't Miriam going to cook in a Budweiser onesie?
Well, the official uniform is going to be a Budweiser bikini. And, you know...
Will you play a Budweiser guitar?
Well, if I get any static from the health department, it'll be a Budweiser onesie. But, you know, I have a full arsenal of the Budweiser promotional guitars that you see hanging on the wall at finer drinking establishments the country over.
You would look
good
one of those hats with the two cans on either side, the connecto straw.
I wear one of those when I watch my sports. it's all about, efficiency, and it makes the drinking a lot easier. Plus, you can drink from two beers at once because it has two straws.
Speaking of sports, you know, obviously I'm not going to any fucking restaurant that serves a bratwurst with yellow Gloucestershire mustard. I mean, you might as well give me mayonnaise with that fucking sausage. I mean, that's how fucking offensive it is. I'm no longer going to restaurants that have TVs, flat screen TVs.
Why?
Okay. Oh, if you want a sports bar, okay. Because a restaurant? Because I don't...
No, I disagree. I think every restaurant should put a little TV at the bar for guys like me who would really like to be watching the game while still being social.
Yeah.
A little TV.
I like... No, yeah, it's fine. I mean, I like to watch the Mets while I eat.
Okay.
Maybe you could hand out the little handheld...
I still agree with you,
the
by
antenna.
The way.
Yeah.
Even if it's a Mets.
I might give you a small screen at the bar.
Sure.
At the bar. That's but, you know, this whole concept of, like, even, like, a sushi restaurant has a flat screen TV. It's distracting. It's not... conducive to like social interaction with whoever you're at dinner with, especially you don't especially hate at bars though. Sports are okay because sports.
But it's like sometimes you're at a sushi restaurant and all you want to do is eat sushi and watch The Simpsons with the sound off.
No, you don't. Stay fucking.
And if you're if you're in that demographic, then that's your place.
No,
I think more restaurants should pull down screens like they do in Europe and Brazil for World Cup games. If it's a big game, you pull down a screen, and even Babbo would just be like showing the World
Series.
That's
fine. That's an event and it's event programming and stuff, but by and large, TVs and restaurants and bars are just like the bane of my existence. They're the scourge of the fucking bar scene. And let me tell you something: if you put on The Simpsons at a bar and you put on with the subtitles, no one's drinking. They're reading the fucking subtitles. It's bad for business. I knew a guy who ran a bar and he only allowed on TV. He told me, this guy had been in the bar business for a very long time. He said the only two things we allow on this TV: sports and the President of the United States, because that's the only thing that sells drinks. And one day he came in during the day shift and caught them watching Days of Our Lives, and he ripped the TV out of the wall and threw it on the street.
You'll probably take a stab at who that was.
Do you watch any television at all?
Not lately. Actually, I'm about to get rid of my Time Warner cable subscription.
So there's nothing you watch?
Well,
Jersey Shore.
You know, I've realized
You watch Jersey Shore?
I don't need the TV. Time Warner is expensive. Now that wrestling's on YouTube, who the fuck needs it?
I mean, seriously, the only thing you can get is live sports. That's
wrestling?
Why I have cable.
That's right.
Yes, sucks. Jack is right.
No, that's
you
that's
can enjoy wrestling on YouTube as much as you would watching it on TV.
Sure, I can. You think YouTube's a step down from television? You're wrong. YouTube is a step up.
Well, I should be defending that too, since we're an internet radio station. Yeah, maybe I do agree.
I don't need it. I can stream whatever I want with whatever, you know, the Roku box or the Apple TV box or whatever device that I'm going to end up with, whatever the most high def version is when I trade up.
I have the Roku box, but I haven't watched any pro wrestling on it yet.
I use it all the time. And, like, what do I really need? I mean, honestly, my life is better without Rachel Maddow. There, I said it.
Wow.
There, I said it, okay?
I had no idea.
And besides, she's on HuffPo, and I want to catch up with her or Jon Stewart. All I got to do is push a button. It's like, it's on the internet. I don't need to be paying this money. And all they do is scream at each other. And coming this political season,
yeah, that's true.
It's just too much bad energy in my house. I don't need it.
Has Rachel Maddow
Goodbye.
Figured prominently in your life up until this point?
Yeah. Well, you know, you kind of want to turn it on because, you know, it's easy to feel smart watching Rachel. I like her. I mean, she's great. She's brilliant. She's entertaining.
I'm going to go out with her one day.
I have a huge crush on Rachel Maddow.
I don't think you're going to be going out. With
well,
her.
Good luck with
I
that,
think
Jack.
Mike is like, I'm going to convert her.
Yeah. I'm going to pray her gay away.
Is there a single wrestler that you would want to see on a big screen? Wrestling
but
today.
No, but YouTube is on my big screen, and that's the point, because I can stream it onto my giant, you know, high-definition television screen now.
But it's not live.
No. But who cares?
You want to know who won? Come on.
I want to watch WrestleMania. I'm going to watch WrestleMania live.
Sure, but WrestleMania is also it's not on regular TV.
Me who won.
WrestleMania, I got to push the button and it will stream happily through my box without me paying $700 a year so I can, what, not watch Julia Louis-Dreyfus's new show?
You're like, why didn't you tell me Jimmy Fly Snuka won? God, I haven't seen it yet.
That was like 30 years ago.
Did adolescent Mike ever dream that one day he could have Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on demand?
YouTube is like this jukebox I always dreamed of, this video jukebox. You know, this morning I was watching Bugs Bunny cartoons on my giant TV. This is all I wanted. All I was missing was like a big box of Count Chocula.
And you're wondering why you're not dating.
Where's Judy? Judy, come back!
Sorry, I'm out, everyone.
Touchy subject.
So what's next for you, you trave serving wonderkins back there? We got this concept of beer tent.
Well, I'm looking at two slices of pizza. I think I'm going to kill those off.
The Roberta's pizza.
In case anyone was looking at that second one.
I saw last week.
Don't even look at that pizza.
You know, last week I saw a lobster roll here at Roberta's. They add a lobster roll to the menu here, Jack, do we know?
It's a shrimp roll.
Yeah, it is shrimp. Yeah.
Shrimp roll.
Fried shrimp in there. It's very tasty with a bunch of mayo.
Ooh.
How do you guys feel about your competition? I went to I'll leave it nameless for now, but a lobster shack, such as it was the other night. And gotta say, I mean, it wasn't working for me. It was too clean. It was too white.
Was it owned by a TV personality's daughter?
Not that I know of.
Good question.
I believe it was like a couple of Wall Street douchebags actually behind the venture. I mean, the food was okay, but it was like, how many things can we make out of a lobster? A lobster slider, a lobster this, a lobster
that.
We
only have one thing on our menu
steak,
that has
lobster hash, you know, lobster hats and shirts and bibs. It was just too much.
Well, we only have one thing on our menu that has lobster to begin with, and it's the lobster roll.
And what is the secret to a good lobster roll?
Well, you know,
I'm putting this one to the kitchen guy. What's the secret of the good lobster roll?
Don't do anything to it. Just steam the lobster. Break down the lobster.
But you still got to put mayo in it.
Yeah, a little bit.
What, Hellman's?
We have a light mayo jit.
That you make.
That we make.
Yeah, we make a mayo jit. It's mayonnaise, something else, and something else.
Secret, secret.
Yeah, secret, secret.
Now, and what then, percentage...
Secret, secret, what are you, fucking Colonel Sanders over here?
Hey, man.
Come on, spill. What's in your mayo, dude?
mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise. Egg yolks.
Oil.
And a little lemon juice.
Where do lobster
There you
rolls go.
Go hard
wrong?
Hitting. I'm like the morally safer.
I think when you get overly ambitious with it, it's something that, I mean, you know, our lobster rolls are just, you know, we get fresh lobsters in several times a week and we steam them live.
And what about your buns? Tell me about your buns. Now that I've heard about your mayo, tell me about your buns.
They're tight. I've been working out.
Made of steel.
Made of steel. Very nice.
You like
I wasn't going there, but.
Have you guys ever smoked angel dust? Did we cover this on our last show? Because on the Mike and Judy show, we have a disturbingly high proportion of guests who've smoked angel dust, either purposely or by accident.
I don't
it's incredible. We've had more angel dust smokers on this show than...
You've had a lot of bass heads?
Well, usually it was like someone got handed like a dusted joint at the Roxy in 1984. But
I'm still clean.
I think
we're going to work on that, Jack.
I don't know that I've ever deliberately smoked angel dust, but... I can't say for certain that I haven't.
Sniff glue?
Sniffed glue.
You're from the deep south.
I've definitely dabbled with the inhalants.
All right. What else
I still sniff markers.
How much of the
I'm sniffing a marker right now
is prepared, and how much of it is just shuffling it out raw but sourcing it right? Do you do the Branzino and the salt thing?
No, do the fish.
The raw bar is the only thing that's served raw.
We'll have a raw bar special. You know, it might be. I think yesterday it was warm scallops or something like that. Just you know,
we'll do typically like a crudo on the raw bar, or you know, we've done lobster tails. We'll typically have a raw bar special, which is somewhat prepared, but you know, the only things that are raw, but you know, sourced properly is the oysters, and then you know, there's a full menu. There's you know. 2 to 4 specials every night.
I want to come to the first dinner that's eaten, you know, eating something from the Gowanus. Even if it's like 40, 50 years, I want to be there for that. Why don't we dump a whole bunch of oysters in there? Dump like 10,000. We'll do a Kickstarter.
Right. Like,
and just dump them right by your restaurant.
It sounds like a good project for Heritage Foods.
Yeah, well, not us. We're not. We're meat. We're not fish.
I feel like we
can throw a cow in there.
Get a jump truck to
throw a cow and a few pigs in there and see what happens.
Get New York One there. Get Heritage Radio Network there. Yeah. That'd be a great thing. And who knows? Maybe they'll do the job.
Right.
Not make it, what is it, an emergency site, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a super fun site.
Super fun.
Which is better than a regular fun.
Maybe Wild
Edibles
will.
We get money.
Sponsor this.
And thankfully, this is the fastest half hour on the internet radio dial
already
today.
That time?
Unbelievable. It's been the Mike and Judy show, sans Judy, with my friend Patrick Martin.
Can
thanks
you get cancer just by talking about the Gowanus?
Probably. Thanks to Aaron and Joe from Little Neck and the Gowanus. Please visit them. We're going to go out with the Beastie Boys for our friend MCA.
Thank
See you guys
Mike.
Next week.
Thanks so much.
Listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.